Devin Almonte here. Welcome. This is Insight Out, where we learn to look at our faith from God's eyes and figure out how to live that out in our everyday. Summer is prime time for concerts. Beyonce is currently on the road with her Cowboy Carter tour. Lots of fun for Beyonce fans, but in Houston, June 28th at the Energy Stadium, things went a little sideways, literally.
Tonight, you're watching a terrifying moment during Beyonce's Cowboy Carter concert in Houston. Fans at NRG Stadium shocked as the car malfunctions, suspending the global superstar above the crowd.
Stop.
It was during one of her final songs in her hometown of Houston, Beyonce pausing the show as the car began to lean, visibly tilting on one side.
It was just really scary because the wires were like all cut together. So like, at any point, it felt like it could have just dropped.
That was ABC News 7 showing us Beyonce. There she is, sitting on top of a red convertible. The car is literally tilting. The wheels are not facing the ground, and she's dangling sideways. I'm sure she's harnessed in, of course. But, I mean, was she thinking, oh, no worries, I'm just about to come crashing down out of the sky into the ground on top of people? Considering all of that, she looked and seemed pretty calm. I mean, I think I'd be freaking out. But I'm watching this and I can't help but think, why? Why are we doing things this way? I thought we were here for music. Why on earth does there have to be a car suspended in mid-air for a music concert? She's not unique in this. I mean, she puts on an incredible performance, but this is where music concerts have gone, to these over-the-top performances. It wasn't always that way. So let's go back. I put together a little montage from the 60s to the early to mid-2000s just to show some of those changes. Listen. That probably brought back some memories, but that's, I mean, you heard it. Back in the 60s, the Beatles, they just needed their voice, guitars, and some hairstyles to make it exciting. Kiss comes along. They brought fire and face paint to the 70s. Michael Jackson, his moonwalk, of course. Thriller, more dance performance, glitzy sets. And then by the early 2000s, we have Britney Spears, and there she is with her banana-colored python. She's performing with the python around her neck. And now, 2025, Cowboy Carter, we've got Beyonce.
Stop.
Stuck in a flying car. It's getting totally out of hand. I mean, how are we going to top this? Like, what is coming after this? What is next? This is not new for her, by the way. If you go back to her Renaissance World Tour, just to put all of this in perspective, her production budget estimated, as this hasn't been totally confirmed, but these are the reports, $24 million. The show had robotic arms and LED runways and a flying disco horse. I mean, you got costume changes throughout the show. It's music, it's fashion, it's tech and choreography, futurism, modernism, all of this packed into an experience. And it looks amazing. It's a total show, a total production. And with that, of course, is a ticket that's going to cost you, what, $200? $500 for like a nosebleed seat. I thought music concerts were supposed to be about music, like music, right? That moves you, song, sound, emotion. Are we afraid to just have it be that? You might remember Oliver Anthony. He made headlines for his song, Rich Men North of Richmond.
Rich Men North of Richmond, Lord knows it all. Just wanna have total control. Wanna know what you
think. Wanna know what you do, and they don't think you know, but I know that you do.
Huge fan of his, not just because of what he said, but how he said it. Because it's him. It's his voice, his guitar. I mean, he's in the woods where he first recorded this. It is soul singing. And his concerts are very much the same way. It is raw, simple, honest. And that's what I like about it. Why are we trading the simple joy of music for these over-the-top spectacles, these over-the-top productions? I mean, are we even hearing the song? Are we just chasing these louder, flashier highs? Why is the voice and the guitar no longer enough? There's clearly a longing for it. That's part of the reason people responded so strongly to Oliver Anthony. There's a hunger for that, the basics, the real. Why aren't we feeding that? When did simple stop being enough? Do you remember your first concert? I'm trying to remember my very first one. I think it was Tom Petty. It might have been Allman Brothers, one of the two. Merriweather Pavilion in Maryland. Lawn tickets were maybe 15, 20 bucks. And if you really wanted to splurge, you could get front row for like $50. Now, what do we have? We have tickets for big name artists, say Taylor Swift or Beyonce. Ticket prices start at 150 bucks and they can go well past $500 just for your average seat. Premium seats, I mean, you're in the thousands. The price jump since the mid 90s, the average ticket prices have increased by 288%. Premium tickets, close to 800%. And that's adjusted for inflation. It's now common for people to travel outside the country to go see a concert because the flight, hotel, and concert ticket are cheaper elsewhere than they are here. It's just insane. So the cost of this is obviously an issue. I don't like it. I don't like what we're seeing. But also the other issue is feeling like we have to have more and more and more and more and more and more for a music concert. It's got to be more of an experience. It has to be more pleasure, more stimulation, more proof that it was worth it. And so these concerts, it's like we're chasing a high from the moment. The lights, the crowd, the wow factor. We don't just want to enjoy something. We have to be blown away by it. Post about it. Relive it. Make sure everybody else knows that we were there. Capture it. But the more we crave, the harder it gets to actually feel satisfied. This whole thing that we are in with music concerts, it bleeds over into other areas of our life as well. It's like we are craving and going after this experience economy. Everything's got to be the experience, especially millennials and Gen Z. Another perfect one coming up, holidays, 4th of July. Before the declaration was signed, John Adams wrote a letter to Abigail. Here's what it said, and I'm paraphrasing, talking about Independence Day. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, bonfires, and illuminations. So a big deal gathering, big celebration, but not a wild spectacle. He was calling for joy and celebration that reflected the weight of what was happening. And yes, so it's meant to be big, but meaningful. It was a party with purpose, not this self-serving, consumer, consumption-oriented production, but more of a public honoring of our freedom with a whole lot of reverence and gratitude. And yeah, that is what we're going to celebrate. So not a feast for our eyes, but a feast for our freedom. We managed to distort even that. Last year, our family went to the beach for the fireworks. A lot of fun because you're on the beach and they're doing them right off the ocean. But we couldn't really see the show because of everybody's phone glowing, just this sea of glowing screens, all recording fireworks to post online, proof that they were somewhere special. Videos, by the way, that nobody ever goes back to watch. I mean, what do you do with all of these firework videos? And then you've got all the newer technology. There are all these drones flying above us and they're making all this noise and then you miss the fireworks. Totally ruins the moment. And I get it. I do this too. I have firework videos on my phone that I have never looked at. We take it. I guess we think we want to capture the moment, remember the moment. But I don't like it because I think we are trading experience for evidence. We're watching all these wonderful things happen through the tiny little screen on our phones. In reality, it's happening right in front of us, but we're not choosing to look at it that way. And so we're in this process of documenting and showing others that we are part of the experience, but we're missing the actual experience. Then we find ourselves not satisfied. The Bible calls this out. Ecclesiastes 1:8, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. So in other words, no matter how much we consume, it's never enough. We are restless. Our desires are distorted. We crave more. We consume more. We seek more novelty. Yet we're never truly satisfied. I mean, God created these amazing things, music, song, beauty, celebration, these things for good. What I feel like I see happening is that the simple, beautiful, amazing creation that God gives us, we are replacing that with spectacle, sensationalism, more. We're exchanging what nourishes for what entertains. Real joy is not found in the over the top. It's in the ordinary. So that means we don't need pyrotechnic cannons or flying cars or flying Easter bunnies to make a lasting memory. Yes, I meant flying Easter bunnies. They're very much real. I have to talk about this. When my kids were little, we went to an Easter egg hunt, except the plastic eggs were not being thrown about in the grass. They were being airdropped from a helicopter from the Easter bunny. Okay, it was loud. It was chaotic. It was kind of hilarious. And sure, we all remember it. But if you ask me whether or not that made the list of favorite family moments, not even close. You know what does make our list, however? This was the time we went to the Smoky Mountains. You know what our kids still talk about? Pickles. Pickles was a wasp. We found him at a rest stop in North Carolina. We were on the road driving our way to the Smoky Mountains. And at that rest stop, he managed to hang on to the car. And so he somehow wedged himself into the seal of the car window and he rode along with us. It was hilarious. We're on the highway, we're driving, and you can see little Pickles there, kind of like holding on for dear life. We thought he's going to fall off, but he gave it his all. I mean, he was really determined to make it with us to the Smoky Mountains. And so, I mean, it was an hour and a half, cross state lines with us before he fell off. He became our tiny little friend. He became like family. Pickles was our entertainment. He was our fun. And if you ask my kids what we did on that trip, they will not tell you about the hikes, the cabins, or the activities. They will tell you about Pickles. These are the moments that last, not because they're big and over the top, but because they are real. They are shared and keep you very much in the present. We weren't trying to capture it for Instagram. We weren't trying to prove that we were somewhere. We were just there. That is an irreplaceable value. Jesus points us back to this kind of value, Matthew 6:19-21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up treasures in heaven. It's not just about money or stuff, though sometimes we've got issues with that. Sometimes I think we're stockpiling experiences, thinking that if we do enough, if we spend enough, if we impress enough, if it's over the top enough, then we'll feel full. Then we'll feel satisfied. That's not where the real treasure is. Going back to Ecclesiastes 1:8, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What I think we're looking for can't be bought. It can't be staged. It can't be live streamed. It's the small things, the honest things, the kind that shows up at a rest stop with a wasp named Pickles. So here comes our challenge. How can we live differently? This is really what my podcast is about. We say we believe certain things, but living them out, we're kind of a mess. Okay? Like we're not very good at that part. Myself included, very much myself included. We do an okay job at listening to what God says, but we're not as good at actually following him. So let's simplify. Simplify our summer, our week, our life. Go to the concert, absolutely. But go to listen. Put down the phone. Let's enjoy the moment. A trip to the park or a simple canoe ride can mean just as much, if not more, than standing in line for 2 to 3 hours at the log flume at Disney World. Let's stop feeling like every experience has to top the last one. Real, simple, honest. And who knows, you might even make a new friend along the way like Pickles. We don't need bigger. We need presence. And it will be everything and more when God's at the center of that. If you want, here's something to toss around the dinner table this week. It's just an easy way to pull your family into conversation. Might even find out what really matters. Just ask your family. Ask each other, your kids. What is one of your favorite family memories? And what made it so meaningful? What's something simple that you or your family could do together this week to create that same kind of joy? It's something real and probably a little ordinary. I'd love to hear what comes up for you around your dinner table with your family, or just maybe your own thoughts. Share your favorite simple memories or what your family is planning this week or this summer in my Insight Out Facebook group. It's a great place to keep the conversation going and, of course, encourage one another in these things, the ordinary, the meaningful stuff of life, the simple. So don't forget to subscribe, follow, share this episode with somebody who might need to hear it. Thanks for being here today. Until next time, choose wisely and live Insight Out.